I'm bringing
sweaty back.
Yeah.
Butterscotch
shenanigans. Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode number 14 of Coffee with Butterscotch. My name is Sam.
I'm Seth.
I'm Adam.
And we are Butterscotch Shenanigans. We're a three-brother indie game studio from St. Louis. We make sweet stuff, and the next game we have is Crashlands, which if you're not familiar with it, you should go enjoy the trailer at crashlands.net.
Yes, you should.
And speaking of that, we are actually going to be having a pretty Crashlands-heavy episode this week. Some heavy Crashlands petting.
It's going to get heavy.
We'll go down.
Yeah.
So prepare yourself. But before we dig into all of the questions that are very much Crashlands related, we're actually going to touch on a few life updates. And I think
Let's do it. And foremost,
Seth has been on what we call the game train.
I've been on a quest for gains.
Wait, who calls it the game train?
Well, I just called it that just now.
Fair enough.
I'm going to start calling it that.
The quest for gains is what we decided to do before I went into the previous transplant so that I could lose 20 pounds without really...
Actually losing 20 pounds?
Yeah, exactly. I had a buffer.
Yeah.
It was a break-even sort of a scenario.
Seth has continued his quest for gains.
I've carried on riding the game train to Game Town.
And
he didn't get a transplant, so he hasn't lost the gains either.
That's right. So his biceps are now the size of a small child each.
Even a large child.
Probably a 10-year-old.
Yeah, so the whole reason for this is I have a really, like probably many of our listeners... and just people in general, I have a really hard time being motivated to exercise because exercise is super boring and dumb. And
yep.
It's especially dumb and boring if you run on a treadmill or something because you haven't even,
You're not going anywhere.
You know my favorite part of that?
Yeah. Is when you get off and you try to walk, but it feels like you're floating.
Well, that happens. But also when people are watching Food Network shows they're treadmilling.
Yeah. The worst is when there's a bank of TVs or something in the gym and you can't control the stations, but then every now and then they'll be like, here's a commercial for pizza. Drippy cheese. Look at the crust. The crust is full of more pizzas.
But I will say, real quick,
it's probably counterproductive.
The fastest I ever ran on a treadmill was when I was... they happened to be showing The Transporter one of the TVs, and it was like a 7-minute action sequence. And
they
was just sprinting.
They should just show the Fast and the Furious 7
they should.
All day long.
All the time.
Yeah. What I try to do is as I try to watch action movies and action like TV shows.
It's a super good idea.
While I'm exercising. The problem, though, is that then I get carried away, so I'll end up exercising really intensely.
And then you blow your legs off.
A while. Well, no, the bigger problem is that then I end up sort of watching the whole thing, which is fine, but then I start to run out of stuff really quickly that's, you know, action-packed enough and not also really dumb.
That's a problem.
Yeah,
is there a TV show that's basically just 1,020-minute episodes of people being punched in the head or something?
I feel like there's that movie...
because that would be a great motivator.
That movie that was a Muay Thai martial arts movie. It was called like The Defender, where somebody comes and steals the guy's elephants
and
he tracks
it
down.
That's it.
He literally, there's one scene that's like 6
minutes
long.
How do you steal someone's elephants?
I
know there's like cattle rustling,
it requires
right,
some...
which is already pretty hard because cows are huge. How do you steal an elephant?
Maybe you should watch The Defender.
Just one elephant.
Yeah, listen, I'm not sure of the facts here, but the point is that there's like a 5 or 6 minute scene where, you know, henchmen are just streaming at this guy and he's just breaking their joints.
Are they coming in single file? Because that's how henchmen
basically
operate.
And then afterward, he's walking over them to go find his elephants, and there's just this pile of like 60 dudes broken on the ground, screaming.
I feel like if you're dude number, say, 52, are you really gonna go in there? Like, gonna be like, this is my time to shine. I'm gonna be the one.
Although sometimes, every once in a while, for sort of comedic effect, they'll have like the final guy who will then just run away or something instead. But it's weird that's done as a comedic thing instead of just like
that's how everybody
should have done that.
But so the whole reason that I'm going on this quest for gains is exactly that motivation problem, because I find that if I don't have a goal, like something to work toward, then it feels pointless. Like, I can run on the treadmill. It's like, okay, I ran on the treadmill, then what?
Right.
But if you choose something pointless to work towards...
exactly. Then suddenly
then
there's
a
point.
You hide the pointlessness of the task.
Exactly. So my object... so every time I I do a lift every week. I do the same set of workouts, and I record how much weight I was able to do at each different, you know, each different exercise. And then I throw all that into a spreadsheet so I can calculate sort of percentages and stuff. So yeah, so my biceps are almost 100% more powerful than they were when I started. And there's some other muscles too, but those are the ones that matter, is the biceps.
Does that work like interest rates, you know, for banks and stuff?
I was going to say, if we could invest...
Will they get explosive
it does,
growth?
Yeah, it does compound.
If we could invest in Seth's game train,
you'd have some good growth. But yeah, so I've also noticed that some weeks... there are huge improvements in some spots, and other times there's losses in other spots, and there's kind of this interesting random spikes up and down that happen.
Well, but, probably it has at least partly to do with the fact that you're now on the extreme end, meaning that you not only are you trying to build yourself to be bigger, but you have to maintain that. Because it'll just go away if you let it.
No way, man. You just have to eat a lot more animals. it's a direct proportion thing. So
you're saying once you have muscles, as long as you then continue to eat animals
to gain their strength, yeah,
to gain their Seth strength. Actually,
yeah, he's being fueled by the souls.
I practice witch doctoring, so I consume the souls of animals and gain their strengths. So that's what I've been up to.
Yeah,
it's working.
We had a family reunion this weekend, which was fun. Went up to Iowa.
Well, Seth had two reunions.
We basically had three. Yeah. Sunday was one side of the family. Saturday was the other side, and then Seth had a high school
reunion.
10 years. Friday.
Yeah.
So Seth, all of us are pretty tired yesterday.
And all weekend, and all of last week. I also before that, I went to visit my in-laws for a few days.
It's been family blitzkrieg.
Yes, we're very
turbo
excited,
to the max.
Very excited to settle back into the welcome work bosom of Crashlands.
Work bosom.
Debt work bosom.
That's right. And on that note, we had an interview with a publication called Techly this morning. We'll put that article up on probably either tomorrow or on Thursday.
Techly.
And that was
really
fun.
What is Techly?
Techly is a basically it's kind of like a tech crunch for the Midwest.
What's tech crunch?
It's a
Is that Techly for the non-Midwest,
yeah.
I guess?
Is it about startups and
yeah,
small...
so startups, tech, and you know, startup
so,
culture.
So stuff. What's cool about this is they interviewed us before we released Towel Fight 2. So they interviewed us.
The first one ever.
Yeah, so that was one of our first interviews we ever had, and that was within the first couple months of making our studio. So they thought it'd be kind of cool to do a follow-up to see how things have progressed and maybe how our viewpoints have changed on the industry and stuff like that, so...
It was pretty fun. It was a good interview.
Yeah.
But without further ado, let's continue our interview with all of you. So we've got a ton of questions to burn through, and almost all of them are Crashlands related nowadays, which is understandable because that's the thing on the horizon. So we are close. We can't tell you guys how close, but we are close to being...
Wait, can't or won't?
Won't.
Okay.
A little bit of both. We are close to beta. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, let's clear up some confusion, some ideas.
Were you trying to again skip right over the ado?
I mean,
yeah, we're not going to have the ado.
I had
this
a whole
time.
Poem devoted to the ado. This
you
time.
Almost skipped it twice in one episode.
But without
it's
further ado,
impressive.
Adam,
even for saying, oh my God, there it is again.
Ado.
Let's start with a question by, I guess first let's hit the first Crashlands question of the day, which is by BragBirch66.
BragBirch66. That's a type of tree.
It is. It's a tree that won't stop telling you about how great it is.
Yeah.
And it lives on Route 66.
BragBirch66 asks, how did you first think about the story, art, etc. of
No, that is not etc. That is ect.
It is ect. He did misspell the abbreviation for etc. So minus 2 points for that.
Well, that's only if he didn't actually mean ect.
Oh, yeah. We didn't think about
which
the
is
ect,
possible.
Actually.
Ectoplasm, yeah. Which I believe is what it's short for.
Probably, yeah. I don't think... So I guess the answer to that very specific part of the question is that we didn't really have ect in mind before we started Crashlands.
More
now,
ever, actually.
Obviously. No, I mean, currently, ect is all we think about.
Yeah. That's the last 20% of development is the ect part.
Yeah, that's the 80-20 rules. Yeah.
The
80% of the time is spent on 20%
of the ect.
Of the act.
Yeah.
The art and the story stuff for Crash. I mean, the whole thing came
out.
Wait,
I just want to say, what's with the implication here that we thought about this?
That's right, yeah. That's what I was trying to get at. I mean,
I feel like there's a lot, it's a pretty presumptuous question.
I feel like we've made it pretty clear that we've been flying by the seat of our pants for nearly 3 years.
Most things that you'll see in Crashlands, you can confidently guess that like a day before they were implemented, we had no idea they were going to be there.
Yeah. But that also means though that a day before they were implemented, we thought about it.
Maybe.
So
most of the time, it was about 20 minutes before it was implemented.
Yeah. So what we did with a lot of the items in the game is basically I would say to Sam, hey, we need a thing that you pry off the ground with a trowel. And then obviously, Sam would be like, all right. And then he'd put that on his to-do list. And then when by the time he got around to it, he would just randomly scribble some crap with a pencil in Inkscape. And whatever it turned out to kind of look like, he put some shadows on it. And then we gave it a name, and then it became a real thing.
So the way that things...
It's like Pinocchio.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a real boy. The way that things get made is basically... someone says, hey, we need a thing, and then I take approximately...
And then somebody else complains about it for a second, and then begrudgingly does it.
Right. I spend about 5 minutes complaining, and then about 15 minutes making it.
And then 5 minutes getting slapped by me.
Yeah, yep. There's lots of...
So his biceps are... He's getting a little
bicep lazy. Slap. Bi-slaps. That's what I call him, my bi-slaps.
Can you slap someone with, like, if you flex hard enough, could you just slap someone
sure.
with a bicep?
If The Rock can flex off a cast,
if you have a big enough bicep and you flex it, then it would, you know, leap upward with quite a lot of force.
You could probably exit the Earth's gravitational
pull. What if there was a superhero who flew by flexing his biceps alternately?
Seems reasonable.
Isn't that just what birds do to fly? It's kind of like I guess they flex their pecs.
It's kind of like a jellyfish situation.
Mm. Wait, how is that like a jellyfish?
Because if you flex, then you're displacing air, and then you unflex. And if you do it fast enough, maybe it would pull you upward into the vacuum. Mm.
Probably.
The vacuum.
I'm a little concerned about the air.
I believe that's called Bernoulli's principle.
Biceps principle.
Yeah. Biceps, yeah. Maybe?
Maybe.
Maybe.
Someone should write a book on that. Speaking of which,
mm-hmm.
Olin Verne asks the question, you already talked about somewhere, I don't know where, but releasing books from your experience. What is the first book you would do, a precise subject or a global book?
Well, we were talking this weekend about writing a book about whatever, I don't care, I think is what the title was. Is that
The Medium Book of Whatever.
The Medium Book of Whatever.
It's not going to be a big book, but it's got to be, it can't be a small book.
So it's going to be a medium book.
Just put whatever in it.
I guess like novella length.
It'll probably have a gray cover.
And it'll just say whatever.
Just each page, you're not going to know what it's about. It's just whatever. There's just going to be just all kinds of crap in there. It'll be great. I think it'll be probably a New York Times medium seller.
Yeah, not a bestseller.
Somewhere down the list, you'll find it. But as far as actual books, aside from that one,
I'm actually working on an Inkscape pocket guide right now.
Ooh, is it going to be only available on iPads?
It's not. Yes.
It's not. Don't Starve, Adam.
Oh, sorry.
But it is called Let's Build a Fucking Snowman after that song in Frozen, but taken to an adult level.
And are you going to have like in those drawing books when they're like, here's how you make an owl. Make two circles and then just right. finish the rest of the fucking owl. Step two, finish the fucking
owl.
I was going to put a bunch of
gifts and stuff in it. So it actually
in
shows
a book?
You.
You can't put gifts in books.
If it's a book on the internet, I can do whatever I want.
That's just a website.
Well, yeah.
Quit being technical, Adam. Adam's our web developer.
Embed,
he
you
just thinks he knows
gifts
everything.
And PDFs, can't you?
Probably not.
No, PDFs are idiots. They don't know how
for
to
real?
Do anything.
Okay, I might have to rethink my strategy on this.
It's too bad you've already finished it. You know, now you got to start over.
Yeah.
But
yeah, from scratch.
Yeah, and then another thing we'd like to do is a game design Bible.
Or Bible.
Bible. We'll put a little line above the E so you know it's
Bible.
Fancy.
Bible.
Yeah. Probably some gold embossing around the cover. Mm-hmm. Leather bound. We haven't thought about the contents. But the cover's gonna be super rad.
Yeah, as long as the cover is made out of animals, then he knows.
Yeah, and it's gonna be heavy, like real thick paper, so that like even 50 pages would be like 12 inches thick. It's gonna be real. It's gonna be a real nice book. So
if 50 pages were a foot in
diameter, it's basically boards. Like each page is like a sheet of balsa wood or something.
That would be amazing.
And we'll just hand carve all of the words.
Well, yeah, it's craft.
And Sam has a Dremel.
Yeah, I got a Dremel.
So we're gonna. There's gonna be one copy of it. It's gonna be made of wood, and it's gonna each letter will be hand Dremeled.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of for a niche audience.
Yeah.
In that
of exactly one person who likes to read
books. So keep an eye out on that for that.
We want to go back to the old ways of doing books, which was extremely laboriously and without any ability to actually disseminate them. I think
That was the golden age of books.
It really was. Like, you know,
good old days.
Library
books
copies.
Were special at that time.
But yeah, Game Dev Bible, Inkscape Pocket Guide, and I don't know, Adam,
the Medium Book of Whatever.
The Medium Book of Whatever.
There's nothing that I mean, there were some books related to my dissertation that at some point I wanted to write, but then I was like, then I'll have to do a bunch of research again, and then all these people will be like, you didn't cite this person in your thing, and I'll be like,
I don't care,
I thought of it independently, why should I have to? And then I'll just end up never publishing it anyway, so, you know.
Yeah, I feel like that's the benefit of writing a game dev book, is since even people who know what they're talking about really just don't know what they're talking about, including us, we can just make
things
up. We
can just say anything.
And nobody can question it.
Yeah. Well, plus it's outside of, there is no real like serious academia for making games, and so you don't have to worry about making somebody sad.
Hey, Adam, I'm an academician who does game development.
Do you teach?
I teach game design classes, offended that you would say that there's no academic presence.
Hey, point me to the journals and textbooks.
Just because I can't.
The Journal of Game Design.
Just because I can't point you at game that design. Doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
Yeah, it does. I think it does.
Doesn't it? I think it does.
If you can't find something, it doesn't exist. That's the rule of not...
Yeah.
That's the rule of the internet.
I mean, that was actually how I treated my thesis, was that if there was a piece of information out there that I knew existed, but it was not retrievable because you could only get it in like hard copy format, or it was locked away in some academic center and they wanted me to pay $30 for it or whatever.
Doesn't exist.
And I would just be like, doesn't exist. That's something I get to come up with independently and not have to cite somebody for.
That's how science works.
Yep.
All right, next question. C. Bigsby asks, since Crash Ends are going to be pay up front, payment models. This would be fun.
Money.
Since Crash End is going to be pay up front, counter to a previous blog post on mobile, will you have any sort of demo or light version to entice new customers?
Nope.
I like how old Bigsby there had to just throw in that parentheses
of the previous blog post.
Counter to a previous blog post.
So the previous blog post that Bigsby here is mentioning is the one about the M
word. The M word.
Mm-hmm. Which, for those who aren't familiar, in mobile especially, is the word monetization.
Oh, it's not the word mobile?
Which is when you boil your players in a soup.
Until money comes out.
Turn them into thin sheets and pound them into dollar bills.
Yep.
It's not a very popular practice amongst the players, but it works really well for
extracting cash
for the companies that do it.
So the original idea was that Crashlands was going to use a recipe unlock system similar to something like Crossy Road or any of the other things, where you get the game for free, but then if you want to actually, I don't know, make a sweet ass blowpipe gadget, then you would have to watch a 30-second video ad.
The game would be like, we know you want this blowpipe, but we're gonna need you to watch this thing about bleach real quick before you can get this blowpipe. Mm-hmm.
And then we actually had it in
the
game.
We had that voiceover in there too.
Yeah,
we did. Yeah.
And well, it was terrible.
Yeah, it was probably the worst thing ever. It just killed the whole experience.
Well, I mean, and here's the gist of the problem, and this is the general problem of a demo or like a pay to unlock or whatever, like we have in other games,
mm-hmm.
which is that you can't give players a little bit of stuff and then ask them to pay later on for the rest of the stuff, because wherever you draw that line, they're gonna get pissed.
So this actually happened with a game, I can't remember what it's called now. Something's Adventure just came out recently on iOS, and it's a little Metroidvania sort of thing. Super cute, really well done.
I don't know about this. Is it just on iOS?
Yeah, it's on iOS, I think. I read it on, or iOS and Android. I read it on Gamasutra, was his breakdown.
Ah.
And he did that where the game was free to start with, and then you literally ran into a paywall.
Ah, yeah, there's nothing that'll piss off a player more than a paywall.
Yeah, and so everyone, the perception wasn't, oh, I got to try this, let me upgrade it now.
I got a thing for free, now I should get the rest of the thing for free.
Yeah, so. Well, because what it does is it diminishes the value of the thing after the paywall. Because if you think about it, if you draw the paywall, or if you're just cutting out kind of a slice through the game so that somebody could play most or the entirety of the game, but only have some content accessible or whatever, then in any case, so if you draw that line really close so that players only get a little bit of stuff for free, then it's a shitty experience for them and they don't enjoy it.
Right.
So you need to move that further out. As you move that further out, it continuously reduces the value of the rest of the game because now you have less and less and less content that the player actually is going to eventually pay for.
Yeah, so you're in a catch-22. The more enjoyable the demo is, the less value per dollar they'll have for buying the full thing.
So what we've actually moved to is we'll be relying on Let's Players, actually. So we plan on providing either...
We're going to off-tube it
onto the YouTubers, because basically watching Let's Play is actually the best way to figure out if something is something you're going to like, right?
Yeah.
Because you get to see not only the game, but you get to see someone else's genuine reaction to stuff, which is usually very funny. And so we're going to be doing that with Crash Hands and providing that information as easily as possible to people, either within the description text or something, so that people can essentially get a taste of it before they pay for it.
Well, and another big reason not to offer a demo or a free game is that when somebody gets a game for free, they don't think about it before they download it.
We talked about this in the last podcast.
Aren't going to care. They aren't going to do the research. They aren't going to look at the screenshots. And chances are most people who get it won't like it, really, because they won't have thought about
it. And what we actually saw was that I think Flop Rocket's probably the case where this happened the worst with us. So Flop Rocket is a free-to-play game. You have access to everything, except we have a purchase that gives you a whole bunch of more content on top of the free part of the game. And almost all of our bad reviews are because people
didn't want
to pay for it. Yeah, they wanted the rest of it to be for free because they already got some of it for free. And so we have all these one-star reviews that are just like, I shouldn't have to pay for this.
Yeah, get called money-grubbing, blah, blah, blah. Greedy. Yep. Greedy is the term.
Super greedy.
Because we didn't give away everything for free.
Yep. and to come back to the original question, which is about a demo, is that a demo, does it say, so if you have a light version or a separate demo version that's only part of the game, then basically you get all those same consequences of a paywall or whatever else, where the player gets to kind of start the experience, but they have no upfront motivation to really try out the game.
Right.
And so just like with everything else, what a demo does is basically gives a player a very medium experience at best, because they're not motivated to really try it, and because they're only getting a fraction of the content.
They haven't decided to become invested in the game at that point.
Yeah.
We're going to avoid that. We'll offshore it to YouTubers. To the tubers.
Send it into the tube.
A lot of that will be available on launch, around the time of launch. I guess I'll just put it that way. We got some plans, so it'll be fun.
Yeah.
Olner Vern asks, will the beta be both on mobile and PC, or will you focus on only one platform? How is this going to go, Adam?
How is this going to go? We have ideas, and we're kind of arguing amongst ourselves between a few. And it's mostly because Crashlands is a huge game. There's a lot of stuff to test. One option that we're kind of moving away from would be just to do the entirety of the test at once, where we just basically pull in all platforms at once, put in a huge number of players, and ask them to go from start to finish. And that was the original plan. The problem with this is that if there are some really big bugs that break the game or require us to even redo some stuff or add a new feature or something like that, then now all of a sudden we have to basically stop this really big beta test and waste everyone's time.
Boo!
Which is bad for everybody. So we want to make sure that when we have the full cross-platform test, the goal there is to get a large number of people through it and to, you know, find out where all the hardware issues are and the hardware requirements for the game. And so that means that the game has to be 100% complete at that point, because because any features we add or even bugs we fix have a high likelihood to add a new bug themselves. So basically everything that we do to change the game to fix it itself has to be tested.
We're basically going down an infinite cascading death well of bugs.
That's right. Yeah. So we may break up the test and have sort of the current thought of the plan is that we'll break up the test into two parts or a few parts where the first one will basically be to rush some really hardcore testers through the nearly complete but not quite complete game on PC only to find all of the bugs and all of the game breaking stuff. So we call them our SEAL Team 6 of testers, right? So it's a strike team
that will come in and just
we'll parachute them in and they'll burn their way through the game as fast as possible trying to track down all the major issues.
And then we'll dump the game into the ocean.
Yeah, then we'll fix those, dump the game in the ocean. And now I'm losing the metaphor.
It works, though.
We're going to lose a stealth copter in the process.
Or something. But anyway, so at some point, the beta test will include all platforms because we need to. We have to include all platforms. Since a major part of the problem is, what does it work on? Our goal won't be to try to make it work on everything. The goal will mostly be to
make it work on modern things.
And to make it work on
modern meaning devices manufactured within the last few years.
Right.
Yeah. If you're on an iPod 2, what are you doing? What are you doing with your life?
You probably upgrade.
iPod 2 came out in like 1938.
Pretty sure.
I think that's right.
I think the Great Depression started because of the iPad 2.
Yeah, I think that's true. And on that note, iOS 9 is currently in beta testing, for those of you who aren't aware of this fact.
Yeah.
And we've already had people send in bug reports for Quadripus and Flop Rocket, I think, saying that those people are beta testing iOS 9 and that our games are completely broken.
So on the iOS 9 beta.
Our suspicion is that even though iOS 9 is in beta, once it's actually released, which I think is in maybe September or something, it will still make our games broken like iOS 8 did. It will probably not be as bad though
because iOS 8 not only broke our games but deleted everyone's save progress for every game they've ever had.
Yeah, that was an interesting one. But I don't know what they're doing with iOS 9. Maybe they're going to do it again. And this is, of course, very bad timing because we're trying to launch Crashlands basically the same time that iOS 9 is coming out. So I don't know what's going to happen with that.
So the question is, do we delay the launch of Crashlands or do we have all of our other games be broken for a couple
weeks? You
know
what would be the best thing is if we launch Crashlands and then the day after we launch it, iOS 9 comes out.
And then Crashlands then it breaks.
And then Crashlands just crashes. And everyone's like, well, it lived up to its name.
Yep.
Yeah, worst case scenario.
Foreshadowing.
We warned them.
Speaking of developer or I guess platform-based stuff and problems in general, the Cactus God asks, will you implement Google Play achievements into Crashlands?
So
this touches on why we have the Bscotch ID system in the first place, which is that a lot of the platforms, they offer services like leaderboards, their own cloud-saving stuff, their own achievement system, and whatever else, and while we might play ball with them from time to time, we won't rely on them exclusively for this, because if you think about those as sort of added benefits that a developer could offer to a player base, when they're actually bound into the platform rather than into the games themselves, then the person who actually gets the benefit from that is not the developer of the games, but the platform themselves, because it makes the platform more essentially sticky.
It makes their iron grip even tighter.
Right. So we want our iron grip to be tighter. So,
right now we've got like a paper mache grip at best.
Maybe a balsa wood grip.
But we got one of those little springy squeeze things.
Working on
that we can
the
use.
Eagle talent.
Yeah, Bscotch ID is our eagle talent.
Bscotch ID is our stress ball.
Yeah. So the idea is that we can, by making it so it's actually in our hands and in the hands of our players rather than platform specific, then it gives our players actually the freedom to move between whatever platforms they care about. So if you're on Steam, you'll have all the data there. If you're on Google Play, you'll have all the data there. And if you move between the two or go to iOS or dump all of your Apple-related products because you're fed up with whatever, you won't have to worry about losing your game center based stuff because it doesn't matter.
And it's weird because if we have cross platform saving where you can play the game on Steam,
move your save to Google Play. But then if, you know, your Steam achievements aren't going to carry over to Google Play game services, right?
Right.
So there'd be all kinds of weird stuff that we would have to work in there and shoehorn it. And it's better for us to just have B-Scotch ID, one centralized thing. So.
Right.
And also, and it's an important point that this whole cross-platformingness thing that we're shooting for is something that we're hoping to make kind of a core. Not every game we'll be able to do it because of control schemes and stuff, but the hope is that we can really do this for a lot of other games. And to date, this whole point about the cross-platform nature of B-Scotch ID versus Game Center or Google Play Games hasn't been that important to players because players either have Android or iOS. But it's going to be different when we actually have games on PC because that could be, you know, Mac, Linux, or PC, and a huge number of people have both. And we want people to be able to play on their desktop and move their save over to their mobile device, which is just it's a thing that people actually do. And so that will suddenly, the importance of that will suddenly become obvious.
It'll all make sense.
Crashlands, yeah.
Right. So the hope is that with using B-Scotch ID, we essentially move the seat of control and power from these platforms into the hands of our actual users, which then we can move around that data to do whatever.
And then we have an iron grip.
Yes.
With our Eagle Tag.
Because then you're like...
Look, I mean, one thing that we could do is actually is do both, because we could have, you know, B-Scotch ID and then also have Game Center, everything else. And so using B-Scotch ID doesn't preclude us from doing it.
Right.
It's just that all the problems associated with... So already it's very hard to make cross-platform games because you have to make sure that they work everywhere. We want to have all this, the cross-platforminess. But the bigger part is that anytime something breaks, like when iOS 8 or iOS 9 comes out and breaks all of our games, all of a sudden we have to stop whatever we're doing and go back and fix all of that. So we want to minimize a number of things that just get to break that are outside of our control.
Yeah, so if all of a sudden Steam was like, by the way, guys, you know all that code you wrote to hook your game up to our Steam achievements? Well, we made some changes to some things, and you got to fix it by this date. Right. You got to update to our new API or something. Well, if we have our own API through B-Scotch ID, then we don't. That's just no longer a thing we have to worry about.
Yeah, but I mean, with certain platforms, there's a huge benefit to actually using them. So I think like the Steam achievements, for example, can generate a huge amount of organic traffic because those get alerted as to your friends completing achievements and games and stuff. So the cards offer something that we don't actually offer ourselves, and there's Steam actually has a lot of cool stuff.
Yeah, we may actually do Steam achievements.
Yeah, I think we will.
In addition to B-Scotch ID, there's a pretty good chance we'll do that.
And they'll likely have be basically the same thing, right?
Yeah, they'll be the same as perks.
Right.
Yeah, it's just that the perk will also be unlockable in Steam,
right.
for which really only matters if you want to. And a lot of it is, you know, everybody has their friends lists in the platform they primarily use, so we all have our Steam friends and everything else, and having to sort of find all of those friends in another network like B-Scotch ID can be a pain in the ass, and so we get that. We'll try to make that a little bit.
Yeah, we'll play where it makes sense to play. I guess is the answer to that.
Yeah, for things that add real value, then we'll consider doing both.
All right, so I think the next question is also from the Cactus God, which is, what amount of Crashlands players that buy the game would you be happy with? Which I assume you mean just what's the volume of units that we're aiming for here?
Oh, I thought he meant like of the people who buy the game, how many of them are we going to be happy about that they bought it?
Probably
2/3.
Yeah.
2/3. Yeah, that's probably about right.
Yeah, I mean, or actually probably more than that. Probably 5/6. You know, there's always going to be a vocal minority of people who are always mad about things. So I'm not going to be happy.
I mean, only 1% of people actually bother us, though, probably. So basically, anybody who would send us...
hate mail?
Anything but just a friendly hello.
Yeah, we're not going to be that happy about that.
No. So support request, even for stuff that's legit, like a support request because the game is broken for real or whatever, I still don't want to hear that. I mean, I know I need to.
Yeah.
But that ruins my day.
I know. It's the worst.
Yeah. I think as far as actual volume goes, we're not really sure what to expect because we've never launched on Steam before.
Yeah, well, and it's there aren't any other real examples of somebody launching on Steam, iOS, and Android simultaneously.
Right. So we'll be gunning for feature spots on all three platforms.
I mean, I'll say though, I'll
I'll put a number. I mean, I think if we sold like 500 million units, I'd be happy with that. It's not to say that I'd be unhappy with less, you know, but I'd definitely be happy with half a billion sales.
Right.
So
well, I think
it's hard to.
We've actually been running some numbers on looking at Steam Spy to get an idea of where, given the genre,
SteamSpy.com.
Yeah, which is super cool. Given the genre we're in, what might we be able to sort of guess as a low and a high range for this thing? And it seems like the crafting genre is very big right now, so we're certainly going to be, I think, catching the wave on that. It hasn't quite burned itself out yet, so we should be in a good time, and with as unique a thing, a twist on the genre as Crashlands is, we're hoping to actually, you know, be able to live after this.
Basically what the game really needs to do for us to consider it to be successful enough, which is not the same as successful, but successful enough,
that each of us can own our own albino alligator with a golden collar.
Mm-hmm.
No, that would be successful. I'm just talking about successful enough.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Okay. Okay, for me then, successful enough would be that it could pay for the 2.5 years of development time within Beastcatch ID that Seth has spent without getting paid.
Yeah, that'd be good.
That'd be nice. Yeah,
and I then could probably Sam cash has that in spent
for an alligator probably
that Sam has spent getting paid poorly, and then more recently the past year that I've spent either not getting paid or getting paid poorly. ideally, it would basically make up for all of that time that we spent trying to turn Butterscotch Shenanigans into the company that it is, and then also give us a, you know, 2 to 5 year runway where we would continue to be able to pay ourselves reasonably, and then keep developing games so that we don't have to worry about whether the next game we make is going to bankrupt the company.
Yeah, so I think
so. To me, that's the minimum acceptable success. Anything less than that, and I would say that the launch of Crashlands, I would call not exactly a failure necessarily, but something.
But less than was hoped.
Not successful.
And I think like based on the amount of money, so I did not get paid for the first two years of the studio existing, which I think that probably comes out to about $700 or $800 million worth of
at least three albino
worth of income that I gave up. So yeah, so Crashlands need to make about 4 or 5 times that math wise, because there's interest as well. So
yes.
That's where I am.
I'm pretty sure those numbers check out.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we're going to, with that question, we'll wrap it up with our hopes and dreams on the line with Crashlands launch coming up. Next week, we'll
be I'm going to name my alligator Chauncey. Maybe Jared.
Jared, the albino gator.
Will he be able to double jump?
Yeah, but I'm going to probably forget to deactivate the right click mouse option, and then it's only going to double jump half the time that you slap him.
We made a game once called Chauncey, for those who aren't familiar.
We do have Chauncey a future question coming up about Chauncey.
But we'll have to get that to that next week.
We'll get that sometime. It's pretty far down the list, unless people vote it up.
Yeah.
Do your worst.
Call to action.
So we'll be touching on another round of questions next Wednesday.
So go to podcast.bscotch.net. Let your questions be known and opine on other people's questions.
By voting on them.
And hop into the forums and join the conversation about this podcast. And we will see you next week.